Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. It is wonderful to be with you today. We have several visitors in our number this morning. Some from the great state of Louisiana. And they're here visiting with us, having attended the wedding yesterday afternoon of Ethan and Kelly. And it was a beautiful ceremony. They had a great venue, and Ethan's dad did a fantastic job. I think he had me crying in less than 10 seconds, which is probably a new record for me at a wedding. But it was just a beautiful job. It was hot. Oh my goodness, it was hot. But it was still wonderful, and had several people from Northside here that were able to be there. And I know that meant a lot to Ethan and Kelly. But getting to spend time with their family and those who love them from Atlanta and Louisiana and all over was just a really special time. And look forward to having them back after their short trip. And we have other visitors today, and we're thankful that you're here. If you're in the area and you're looking for a place to call home, we would love for you to consider us. Our hearts are open wide right now to this community and serving our community in any way that we possibly can, and obviously the way that we want to help serve is by being there to help in spiritual matters, in helping people find the Lord, and helping them to learn to love the Lord, and helping them in their pursuit of the Lord and in their walk with the Lord. We would love to be there for you and be family to you in that. It's something that we strive to do for each other. And if you are in need of that, we would love to serve you in that way as well. I want to start reading in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. I'm only going to read a couple of verses, and we'll see something really important jump out at us here. It says in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 27, "As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?'" It's an interesting question Jesus asks. It's really one of the only times that I know of in Scripture where Jesus asks for some kind of statement of faith from those around. A lot of times there is a scenario where Jesus observes someone's faith just in the way that they are approaching Him. You remember the story in Mark chapter 2 where the four men carried the paralytic on the bed, and they cut open a hole in the roof and laid him down. There was no need for any declaration at that point, was there? He could see that they were men of faith. He observed their faith, and because of their faith, he not only forgave the paralytic of his sins, but he also healed him. In other times, Jesus marvels at the faith that some have when they approach Him. And yet here, these two blind men are asking for mercy, and Jesus asks them a question. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Well, this is coming right on the heels of Jesus healing Jairus' daughter, and when he made the suggestion that Jairus' daughter wasn't really dead, that she was just sleeping, the people started laughing at him. They started mocking Jesus. And And so he comes on these two blind men, and then he asks them this question. And I would suggest to you that this is the most important question that God has ever asked anyone. And I would further suggest to you that this is not the first time, it's not the only time, that God has ever asked this question of anyone. I would further suggest to you that God has asked this question of every single person that has ever walked the face of this planet. And I would yet still further suggest to you that He is asking you this question right now. That while you're sitting here today, He is asking you this question. You know, we can look at a lot of stories in Scripture and kind of see where all this gets borne out, and we can see it kind of come to life. And while I say this question is the most important question, it's not the only time this question has ever been asked, it's not always in that same form. But God has asked this question of all of humanity. If you think about what God told Adam in the Garden of Eden, He tells Adam that because of their sin, they have these different curses. He speaks to the woman, He speaks to Adam, He speaks to the serpent, and He tells them everything about what he's planning to do, or at least He introduces His plan. And what He says to all of them is that, yes, because of your sin, you will be kicked out of the garden, but one day I'm going to bring someone into the world. And that person is going to be bruised. But in the process of him coming into the world, he's going to crush the head of this serpent. And I'm going to invite you back in to this great garden, this fellowship with God. Adam, do you believe that I'm able to do this? You can just kind of sense the question being asked there. God tells someone that is a follower of His, or really anyone, and just tells them, here's what I can do for you, or here's what is your greatest need. Do you believe that I'm able to accomplish that for you? And part of the problem is that we go through this life and we begin to feel strong within ourselves, don't we? I did a lesson here one time where I was describing to you my philosophy on children. That I believe that when we are born, that we have little halos over our heads, that we are just the most precious little angels, and that we are the closest thing to perfect in this life that you can get. And then we turn 2 years old. And on the day of our second birthday, a demonic angel inhabits our body. And that sweet little innocent child that was really happy for you to hold their hand and tie their shoe now says something like this: "No! I can do it what? By myself." Right? And you get this, and obviously I'm kidding about the demonic angel and all that, but there's this thing that happens to us. And there's this mentality of not only should I do this by myself? It's absolutely, I need to be able to do this by myself. It's, I ought to be strong enough to do this by myself. And when we're not strong enough to do this by myself, by ourselves, then we feel beaten down. We feel like we're a failure. Feel like we weren't good enough. And that's not at all how God wants us to feel. Because he's constantly asking us this question. Every day that we live, he's asking us this question. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And so we see that in the lives of a lot of different people in the Old Testament. We could do an entire gospel meeting series on how God has asked that question of Abraham, couldn't we? Abraham, I need you to leave your home and leave your family. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Abraham, you're going to have a son. Yeah, I'm going to give you descendants. You believe I'm able to do this? No, Abraham, it's not going to be Eliezer. It's going to come from your body. Do you believe I'm able to do this? No, Abraham, it's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to come from your body and Sarah's body. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Abraham, now I want you to go and kill that son, the son of promise, through whom you're supposed to have innumerable descendants. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Hey, Noah, I'm going to destroy the entire world with a flood. And I want you to build a gigantic boat. And I want you to collect two animals of every kind all over the face of the planet. And then I'm going to allow the great fountains of the deep to open up. I'm going to allow the windows of heaven to rain down. And everything that you know to be true is going to be destroyed. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Hey, Peter, Satan has asked for you. He has asked me permission to test you, to tempt you, to try to get you to fall. And you know what, Peter? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall. But I've prayed for you. And after all of this, you're going to be restored back to me and back to the brethren. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Hey, Paul, I see you there in Ephesus. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow things in Ephesus and all of Asia, for that matter, to get so bad that you are absolutely despairing of your life. I'm going to lay upon you a burden that is stronger than you can bear. I'm going to lay upon you afflictions and burdens that are too heavy for you to lift. Because I want to teach you something, Paul. I want to teach you that you are not strong enough. I want to teach you that you need to stop trying to be strong enough. And I want you to learn to trust in me. Do you believe that I'm able to do this, Paul? Do you believe? And so Eli read for us just a few moments ago Paul's answer. He said, we don't want you to be unaware of what was going on with us in Asia. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength. We were at the brink of death. And we were there because God allowed us to be there so that He would teach us this lesson. Stop trusting in yourself. Trust in God who raises the dead. At the two weddings that have been on these past two weekends, something that's really cool, and I've seen it done a couple of different times, and I really enjoy participating in that. But they have both had a Bible opened and an opportunity for you to go in and highlight your favorite verse or a memorable verse or some verse that you want to speak truth to the young couple, and you can write a little message in there. I highlighted the same passage in both Bibles, in Bailey and Hunter's and in Ethan and Kelly's. And it was a section of the passage that Eli read for us. I would have highlighted the whole passage, but somebody else took verses 1 through 7, whoever you are. But I love that passage. And the message that I love to write to people, whether they're moving away and going to a new place and going to have new adventures, or whether they are embarking on this marriage relationship, entering into this covenant for the very first time, that the message that I believe that passage sends to them and to all of us is, we serve a God who raises the dead, y'all. We serve a God who raises the dead. And so there's all these different situations and circumstances of life that we can find ourselves in. And sometimes it's easy to forget that we serve a God who raises the dead. And so I would encourage you today to answer this question, to get to a place where you can honestly answer this question in the same way that these two blind men did on this day. Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And their response, without hesitation, without doubt, was, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." "But Lord, I just lost my job. How am I going to feed my family? How are we going to make it from day to day, from month to month? How's all this going to work out?" God says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this? But Lord, my marriage is, it's just not good right now. We're just not in a good place. We're not being considerate of each other. We're arguing and fighting all the time. And I just don't, everything I do, everything I try to do to make it better just always seems to make it worse. I don't have anything left to do to make it right. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? But Lord, I'm really worried about my kids. I'm really worried about whether they will come back to you. I'm really worried about this situation that they've got themselves in. I'm worried about the consequences that they're going to have to suffer. I'm worried about what's going to happen to them in their marriage, in their children, in their job. I feel so helpless. I feel like I have no strength in order to make a change in this situation." And I believe God's answer from Scripture would be, "Good. That's where I want you to be. I want you to be in a place where you feel like you have no strength at all. I want you to be in a place where you stop trusting in your abilities, in your talents, in your strengths, and realize that it's not about you. It's about what God can do through you. And the God that's wanting to do something through you is a God who raises the dead. But God, my father just got cancer. And it's real bad. My mother's really sick with this disease that they don't give her very much hope at all. Or what about the tragedy of a child who gets sick in a terminal way? Or some injury happens to them. And you just feel so helpless and you feel so lost and without strength. I would suggest to you that that's exactly the place where God wants you to be. Because when people get in that position, well, that's when He does some of His best work. Because we start to realize that we serve a God who raises the dead. Now, the difficulty in thinking about all of these things is that in this particular story, these blind men, well, they received their sight. In the occasion where Jairus was so concerned about his daughter, his little daughter got raised to life again. The widow of Nain was literally walking beside the casket of her dead son, and she received him back. Well, that doesn't always happen, does it? The sick for whom we pray, they don't always get better. We had an amazingly powerful prayer right in the center of the room there for several people, among whom was the Allison's niece, Vicky. And you know what? A good report happened the next day. And wow, we were so thankful for that. And we praised God for that. But she's sick again, and she needs our prayers even more now. And so what makes this concept, I think, difficult for us is that the things that we want, the desires that we have for our sick relatives or our wayward family members or my financial situation, we have in our mind the way we want it to work out, and it just doesn't always work out that way, does it? Well, does that mean that God wasn't, in fact, able to do this? No, it's not. That's not what it means at all. And so the really difficult part of learning to trust God in this way is giving Him complete control over the outcome of whatever it is that we're praying for, whatever situation it is that we find ourselves in the middle of. And just completely giving control over to Him for how that narrative is going to be written. I think the perfect illustration of that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that story? The three Hebrew children about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. To me, their statement helps me so much to figure out the attitude that I need to have. And their attitude was this: our God is able to deliver us. He's able to do it. And they even go so far as to say, we actually believe that He will deliver us. We believe that He's going to deliver us in this situation. Sounds pretty good up to this point. But here's where their attitude differs from mine a lot of times. Even if he doesn't. He has the power to do it. We have a really strong belief that He will do it in this case. But even if He doesn't, He's still good. Even if He doesn't, He is the God who raises the dead. And so we've got to get to a point where we realize that whatever situations and circumstances in this life that get us so weighed down with grief and strife and stress and worry and doubt and fear, all of those things that force us into these kind of feelings and emotions, we have to look beyond the grave and understand that we serve a God who raises the dead. And that may mean that He works out my financial situation by giving me that dream job that I've always wanted. That may very well be in His plan. But it may not be. It may be something completely different altogether. It may be that this situation that I'm struggling with at my in my neighborhood, it may be this situation that I'm dealing with at school. It may be that I eventually lose a friend over this. I may be separated from somebody because of this situation. Paul and Barnabas having this strong disagreement. Well, the answer to all of that was them being productive, going in two separate directions. There was a separation that took place there, though. So we've got to get to a point where whatever we're dealing with in this life, we trust that God is able to do this. That he is able, that he is willing, but then that piece that's just so hard for me to let go of, and I'm thinking maybe it might be the same for you, that piece that's so hard for me to let go of is letting him determine the outcome of all of that. Lord, I want my sick family member to get better. The hard part is to say, but even if he doesn't, you are still good and you are still a God who raises the dead, and I know that you've promised to raise my family member from the dead. I really want this situation in my life to work out. I want my job back, or I want a different job, or I want to get into this school, or I want to pursue this career. Lord, help me to do the things necessary to walk through all of those paths. I believe that you're able to do this. The hard part is to say, but even if you don't, I trust that you are a God who raises the dead. You are a God who moves mountains. You are a God who parts seas. You are a God with an angel army that surrounds me at all times. And the forces of good are going out and fighting my battles for me. I trust and believe, God, that you are able to do this. I love this passage from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1. You got to remember about this passage that Paul is literally down in a hole. A deep hole. A dark hole. One that probably smells bad. One that probably has some dead prisoners in it that just haven't been removed from the cell yet. He's in probably the worst place imaginable on the planet Earth. Second was outside in Clarksville yesterday during the wedding. Not because of the occasion, but just because of the heat. But this is the worst. This is the worst place imaginable on the face of the planet. And this is the same Paul that has been through all kinds of trials in his life. All kinds of afflictions. All kinds of problems. And here he is in this hole. And he's about to die. He knows that his death is days away. And here's what he says. Chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That's the attitude I hope we can all be encouraged by today. You came in here today, and I don't care who you are, you're dealing with something. Something has you weighed down. It may be that your mama wouldn't let you bring your favorite baby doll into the assembly today. Richie, it may be. Or it may be something that all of us would agree is so hard. Something that you're dealing with. Maybe you're dealing with it and nobody knows what you're dealing with. And you're weighed down by it. And it's just affecting everything that you do and everything that you say. And you believe that God is able to do this. Do you believe that he has the power to make your situation into something good? And it may very well be that he makes the situation that you're in good by leaving you right there in it for a little while longer. So that your faith and your trust in God who raises the dead can be where it needs to be. And you can recognize that he not only can, but will use this situation to minister to others. What is it that weighs you down today? What is it that has you burdened? What has you fearful? What has doubts springing into your mind? Let's all go to God together for one another with regard to all these things and help each other build that faith and that trust that God is able, but then also to help each other just give complete control to Him and let Him control the narrative. Let Him write the story. And have that attitude of, I believe He's able, but even if He doesn't, He is still good. He is still God. He is still in control. And I may lose my life. I may lose my family member. I may lose my kids. I might lose my spouse. It's possible that I lose everything that I want so desperately to hold on to. But even if that happens, I trust in a God who raises the dead. Do you trust in a God who raises the dead? It's possible that you're here this morning and you've been so weighed down with worry and grief and hardship, and you've been weighed down for so long that you don't know what to believe anymore. We want to invite you to turn your life to Jesus because He's able. He's willing. And even if it doesn't work out the way that you might hope that it would, He's promised to raise you from the dead and give you a home in heaven with Him forever. Are you on that path to that great home? Are you trusting in a God who has the power to raise the dead to life, to give eternal life? That's like forever. If you're here this morning and you have anything that you need to make right, some of our elders will be standing at the back of the room. I'll be standing up here in the front. As Joe leads us in this song that we're going to sing to try to encourage you, we invite you to come. Come to Jesus. Lay your burdens down at His feet. Lean upon those who love and serve Him daily and who are trying their best to navigate through the worries of this life. Come and lean upon the church, the body of Jesus, as we strive to help you in whatever your need may be. We invite you to come as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.